Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
And I'm ready to go crazy because the Celtics are going all the way.
Hey, Nick, go handle our light work.
Bowl games matter.
I would like a cold cut sandwich.
Oh, atta boy, how bad?
You can call him Eamon Owens because he ain't got no D and he ain't got no J.
James Madison.
Turn your body cams off. Do what you do.
Hey, everybody. What is going on? It is Tuesday night. That means it is time for another edition of Craft Brewed Sports. I am Mike. With me, as always, is Scott. Scott, it's opening week officially now. Not that BS from last week where we're going to play two games and then come back and start spring training again. It is officially opening week. How you doing, man?
I'm hyped, but I was a little mad you cut me off of there then. So turn off your body cams. Do what you do.
I didn't cut you off.
It was cut off on my end. You talked over me, son of a bitch.
That's your internet. You can't talk over the video. It doesn't let you talk over the video, man.
Oh, well, then I guess I'm listening too slow.
That's on you.
My bad.
It's all right. I'll let it.
I'm jacked, baby. Baseball is back. Let's fucking go.
There it is. First F bomb. A minute 32 seconds in, we're already throttled.
I wasn't gonna let Mookie beat me to it this week. Not on the holiest of weeks.
That's a good point. This is your week, man. This is like it's kind of my week, but it's your week. Like this is your week.
I'm upset that I was driving home from baseball practice tonight. No, I'm not. I should be. I was driving home from baseball practice tonight, and I'm like, all right, we got practice. Good practice tonight. Oh, shit. We got practice on third. Fuck, man. Like, do I skip practice? Like, do I send my kids to practice and just be at home, like, not coaching? Because we got practice on opening day. Like, who scheduled this shit?
I just realized now my kids have practice on opening day.
Yeah, like I'm kind of a little bit upset about this. This kind of sucks. But well, I'll figure something out. I'm coming down with something.
It's raining, but just over the field that we practice at. Can't practice. Sorry, guys. I'll be over here on the couch. Mookie vigorously shaking his head because he's a jerk and doesn't understand the love of baseball. Hey, Mookie.
Nah, man. We're talking about practice. Practice, not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Okay.
You do get a little love for that one. Well done.
Practice.
How are you doing, man?
I'm jacked because you know what? Baseball season's here. So you know what that means, right?
Fade the A's.
Fade the A's, baby. Can't wait. Gonna roll over my hit from this weekend in college basketball to start off on that bankroll. We're gonna start grinding. We're gonna put in that work. We're gonna show up for all 162 games and we're gonna be there and it's gonna be glorious.
Did you cash out on that parlay you had?
I did, because okay, as you pointed out, and for those of you who aren't in the group chat, I didn't realize what I did in true Mookie fashion. I've been betting all the games of like the first 4 days March Madness. Just bet every single game, pick that 8-16 leg parlay or whatever. Saturday, I actually added the ninth game by accident. So I hit every game on Saturday, hit 8 of the 9 legs. And then accidentally bet on the Alabama Grand Canyon game that tipped off at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And so I texted the group. I'm like, so what do I do? Do I cash out, take the money now? Like what do I let it ride? Like, that's a really long time to wait and sit on it. And Mike pointed out correctly, fuck the SEC. Don't rely on them. Get your money. So after Kentucky screwed me, I made sure to cash out and take those winnings. So, yeah, Yeah, we're feeling real good rolling into baseball. Let's go.
Mookie, I have one clarifying question that has been bothering me since you put up that bet slip that showed 8 games, all hitting, cash out option with 1 game remaining. Like, it was an impressive bet slip. How are you dead last in this bracket pick'em? If you every leg of a parlay, how is that possible to hit a 9-game parlay and you are literally in last place with 32 points and only 140 possible in this bracket? How is that a thing?
You know, I've got no explanation other than I went by the gut and it wasn't great that time because I don't know. Shit, that's bad. Because in my work pool, I'm actually in first place. So it's like complete opposites. We're also doing this. Have you guys ever played the dark horse pool approach where you pick 5 teams and you get a point for every game they win based on their seed? So like if it's a 4 seed, every time they win, you get 4 points, et cetera, right? So it's cool because it kind of balances out. You almost want to go for the long shots. But I'm in first place in that with 4 out of my 5 teams remaining. So I'm looking real good there. I've got no explanation for the CBS pool, though.
Can't win them all. Work, as always.
Can't win them all.
Can't win them all. You want 52%, man. That's all it takes to be a shark. So apparently the CBS is on the 48% side of that for this yeah. March.
Also hanging with us tonight, our good buddy Matt Barr. Matt Barr, how are you doing, man? You were shaking your head during all of that as well.
I'm tickled pink to be here, but just listening to Mookie talk about his bets, because I am in the group chat. Oh, my God. Holy shit. It is. It's an adventure, y'all. You guys see little snippets of it here. We get the full, all of it, and it's a lot. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here.
It's very degenerate, right, Matt? Like, we're not exaggerating when we say Mookie really is a degenerate when it comes to this.
We make these jokes on the show. I make them in the comments. It's a fucking fact. It's a fucking fact. Hey, Gabe, thank you. I appreciate it. They beat the hell out of Wisconsin, and the coach bolted because JMU is just going to be the next mid-major stepping stone for coaches to elevate their career. Welcome to my life.
To Matt's point, too, I'm checking the group thread today. 10:52 a.m. Eastern, I ask if it's degenerate to bet on Sam Pinkman-Fried going to jail for 20-plus years, to which we then dive right into Scott's Diddy take, where we have 3 different options for that. We might need to get into that later, because I got some questions about a couple of these options that were on the board, but I can't help myself.
Okay, so here's the thing. And let's peel back the curtain for a second. And I know we're getting – this is still the intro and we're 7 minutes in. But Mookie will come up and say stuff in the group chat about, like, should I bet on this or can I bet on this or would I bet – what if I put money on this? And I assume it's just him trying to be funny, like making a joke about, like, oh, I'm going to bet on Sam Bankman-Fried spending time in jail. And then he sends a screenshot of some disturbing site where you actually can bet on this stuff. Like, you are – Mookie, I'm legit worried about you. You have a problem, dude.
Well, the best part is I saw this article earlier this week and I saved it for the show because it's the perfect summary of it, where I saw this and my immediate thought was, shit, I wonder if this is going to hurt me come late summer, because it said a Little League cheating scandal is roiling a wealthy corner of Washington, D.C. So apparently there is this Little League in Washington, D.C. area where there is this big betting ring that got blown up. And I'm like, fuck, like, are they going to take it off the board come actual, you know, time at Williamsport?
That's what you're worried about. You're worried about them taking teams off the board.
They wouldn't let me in on that action. And now they're going to ruin it for the rest of us. Like, fucking assholes. I tell you,
Gabe said 1-800 gambler is the number that you want to call.
It's not a problem because I'm winning, man. Like, what's the deal? Shit, I'm just out here making cash. Y'all just pissed you ain't jumping on the bandwagon.
Just tell me what to bring to the intervention, Moogie. That's all I need to know. Tell me snacks, drinks, what you need me to bring.
Pizza roll. Fair. Rex pointing out, this is a sports show and not a betting show. Isn't that why Shohei is in hot water? We'll talk Shohei tonight. I know Scott and Chris covered it last night on Backwards K, but I got some thoughts. It's the big story. We got to talk Shohei. We also got to talk. There's a gambling scandal in the NBA. Like, this is like our new normal now. It's just like, what is the latest gambling scandal to rock whatever professional sport there is? Or apparently Little League in Mookie's case as well. We also talked these NFL rule changes. Everybody's up in arms about these. So we got it. Matt Barr is hands in the air, frustrated just at the thought of NFL rule changes. We'll talk about that. Maybe some March Madness, who knows. Before we do all that, though, let's talk about these beers that we are drinking tonight. We are going to rate them, as always, on the Caesar scale. Dog or no dog? Scott, what is in your mug? Dog or no dog?
When I buy my beers, I often plan ahead so that I can mix them when I purposefully don't buy beer.
Nice.
And so I am combining my last two of the Acai Berry Bowl Sour and the Love You Buy Peach Edition.
Love you,
so I've got strawberries, blueberries, bananas, acai berries, and peach all in one delicious mug. And this is a damn good dog. Like, they need to make this collab in real life, because this shit's delicious, man. Like, it's like tasting a fruit cup with an IPA mixed in. It's delicious. I love it.
Wasn't that one a sour?
Yeah, but it's like the IPA is overbearing on that one. So but it's delicious. It's dog as fuck, bro.
It sounds, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it sounds really good. And I do like really your strategy is. Of just, I'm going to have extras. I'm just going to mix them together. And that's what I'm going
for. Well, I get the stouts and try to like, get, like, it's a strategic thing, because I'm like, I wonder what these two would taste like. And it's like two fruit beers. Fucking perfect, man. It's good.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. There's Scott's cocktail of brews for the night. Mookie, what are you drinking tonight? Dog or no dog?
Oh, it's a dog. Got the Sam Adams, Just the Haze. And it's great, because I actually mowed the lawn for the first time this week, and it all feels very poetic that, you know, that happened. It's opening day. It's like summer is basically here, guys. And this Just the Haze is like the perfect summer beer. Nice, crisp. You honestly think you're drinking a real beer. It's pretty fantastic. So definitely a dog.
Very nice. Matt, what do you got in your mug? Dog or no dog?
I have Hardywood Brewing's Cancer Sucks Cold Cap IPA. It's a cold IPA, 6.2% alcohol by volume. It is delicious. It's brewed at lager temperature, so it's much more crisp. You still get the bite from the hops in the IPA. Ooh. Dog, and double dog, because 10% of all sales go to funding cancer research. And if there's one thing we can all agree on, fuck you, cancer. Fuck you.
Fuck you, cancer. Yeah.
Can't any IPA be cold if you?
That's what I was going to ask. I don't know, my decision whether or not it's a cold IPA, like that, depends on what I do with it. But thank you for explaining the brewing temperature and the lager. That answered my question before I got to it. I'm glad Scott didn't pick up on it. And
no, I was like, oh, he's explaining it. I'm still going to ask the question. Fuck that.
That was always my favorite when Coors Light was like, it's the coldest beer that's brewed. And it's like, yeah, it's not if I just leave it on the porch for a while. Like, this is your marketing.
I miss that train just barreling through neighborhoods and shit every time somebody cracks one open. They need to bring those back.
I forgot all about that, man.
Like, you know, people all over the world. Here comes this fucking train just barreling through. It's
always just like sweaty people doing yard work, and they're just like, it's so hot. And
then, those are the Zima commercials. Zima, remember the Zima commercial? They cracked a Zima, and then all the grass clippings like blew off the guy. That's a classic 90s commercial, great, right, man. There, man.
God, we need to bring back those good old beer commercials.
They need to bring back Red Dog.
Oh, Red Dog. Wow. Oh,
shit, dude.
Deep cut.
Yeah. I mean, that would put hair on your chest right there, man. That shit was.
I believe it.
That, I feel like that needs to come in a bonus pack where it's Red Dog with the side of Marlboro Red. Like, that just feels like the way to go with it.
I was like 6 years old, and my favorite hat was that Red Dog Bulldog logo. That
yeah.
That guy with that. And I look back, I'm like, why did my parents let me walk around with that Red Dog hat at 6 years old? But now I'm a dad, and I'm like, no, I would, if my kid wanted to wear a Red Dog, I'd be laughing my ass off
behind yeah.
the whole time. Let's check the comments and see what you guys are drinking. By the way, Tyson said gambling and steroids, legalizing both makes sports great again. That's a take, man. That is
meanwhile, look at his photo.
I know, that's why I put it up. It's
explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, it's like a Mentos and Coke situation coming out of the guy's butt. I don't know.
It's a live look at the Dodgers PR department the last 3 years.
Oh,
got him.
Wow.
Wow. Well done. Well done. Gabe is drinking Big Juicy Beer Hug, a 9.9% ABV Imperial IPA from Goose Island. He said it's a dog. Robert Taylor is drinking Temblor Brewing's Fluffy Shenanigans, 8% ABV, Blueberry Marshmallow Kettle Sour. Wow. He said, dog, the sweet of the marshmallows blends perfectly with the tartness of the ale. That sounds ridiculous. All right, Rex is drinking Black Abbey, the Rose Belgian Style Blonde. ABV is 5.4. He said, it's always a dog. Kevin said he's drinking NyQuil after the show.
All right. Yeah, hey, man.
Dude's got to get now, Kevin. Right. Like, get some Robitussin and just go tussin tripping during the show. It'll be a good time. Scott, I told you I couldn't wait to show you what beer I'm drinking. I also did not get beer, but I found in my fridge Santa's Bribe.
Yes! Yes! Hell yes. Hey, there is nothing wrong with drinking post-season holiday beers. Like, they still do. Like, I can't wait to see how this tastes. Because Santa's Bribe is solid. Santa's Bribe is
really good. I thought about keeping it in the fridge until like September and breaking it back out sometime in the summer. But this is a Christmas cookie ale, and it's 6.2%, and it is a dog. It tastes just as good as it did 4 months ago when I bought it.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
It's a great brew. I don't know how I missed these, but they were like in the back of the fridge, like hidden behind some other stuff. I was like, damn, I didn't get beer. What do I got? I got hams. I got Miller Lite. I was like, what's this red kid? Santa's Bride. Please tell me there's two. And then there's two.
That is so clutch.
Oh, it's the best. Let us know in the comments what you guys are drinking and whether it is a dog or no dog. All right. It's opening week. We got to start here. Let's talk baseball.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
Speaking of oh shit, Shohei, man, what a cluster this has been. So if you don't know the situation, it came out that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter slash manager slash best friend was fired from the Dodgers. And then he was let go, and it was all because of gambling. And Mookie, did you just try to mute me as I was talking there?
That's a negative. I was not on the page. I mean, like, just call it like it is, man.
Oh my god, popped up on my screen, the host has muted you, and I was like, this motherfucker. And it turns out you weren't even paying attention.
Mr. Wyborski, are you paying attention? No, I'm actually not. You got me, teach.
That was so good.
Nope, screen's not even up. I'm watching something else.
I'm betting on Little League Baseball. But I'm over here.
I wanted to know if they had a future on Shohei getting suspended for the whole thing. Like, how ironic and fun would it be to make money betting on him getting busted for his guy stealing his money to bet?
Oh my god.
So the interpreter gets fired. It was revealed that there was like $4.5 million withdrawn from Shohei's account, and it was wired to a bookie. And then the interpreter was like, he came out with a story, and then immediately that story was like, no, that's not what happened. Hang on, Shohei will release a statement. And then Shohei came out, just said, hey, this dude just stole from me. I didn't know anything about this. This is I have nothing to do with this. It reeks of Shohei having everything to do with this, Scott. Like, it feels like the more this goes on, the more that it gets uncovered from the story, it feels like this is 100% Shohei was betting, and this guy is just the fall guy. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not saying he did it. I'm saying that's what it seems like right now. Like, it feels very much like this is Shohei betting.
It does not pass the smell test one bit. You're just like, what's the real deal here? Like, I mean, I said last night that the story breaks and I see it on my phone and I'm like, wait, what the hell? And I was busy, like, washing dishes or doing something in the kitchen By the time I had opened up my phone to see what the hell was going on, they had already come out with the second story, like the second version. I was like, within the last 10 minutes, the story has already been recanted and changed. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, and it's changed four or five times since then. Like, we have gotten multiple versions of this story, and it's all, it's the most bizarre shit that I think I've ever seen. Like, in the middle of spring training, just, and it, you know, it, we, Shohei doesn't speak perfect English, so it's not like he can just come out and give us his version without another interpreter. So, and then he didn't want to talk to the media for over a week after it happened, so that looks sus. Like, it's
and a nightmare. When he does talk to the media, it's one of those, I'm going to read this statement, there will
and not
be
take
no
questions.
Questions. Like, bro, that is so suspect to be like, this is a statement, take this for what it is. I'm leaving this right here. Matt, you had made a joke earlier about the Dodgers PR department. Like, what do you make of this whole thing with Shohei?
My best guess as to what happened, and from what I've been kind of trying to find more out about Shohei, is that the dude is a robot. And he just eats and breathes baseball. He doesn't eat with the team. He doesn't drink with the team. He doesn't do anything with the team. He goes to his room and he stays there. I think him and his interpreter, translator, had a fantastic relationship. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Shohei didn't know what was going on with his money and Ipe was stealing from him. And then my best guess is Shohei tried to just pay it off. He tried to be a good guy and pay it off for him because they're friends. And he's like, oh, well, everybody makes mistakes. He's Shohei. He's nice and bubbly all the time. Like, I honestly think that's what happened. But the problem with that is you can't just give someone $4.5 million. The IRS has something to say about that in a country that you are a foreign man in the U.S. trying to illegally transfer money. Good fucking luck in the USA. They're going to find this money. I don't think Shohei was gambling. I do think he tried to pay off his translator's debt. And I think once the IRS and everybody else get done with their investigation, it's not going to look good, but I don't think it's going to directly tie Shohei to gambling. And I think baseball is going to be like, we're going to let this one slide.
Baseball is going to do whatever they can to not implicate. Like, they already, if I remember correctly, they first said Shohei wasn't involved. We're not investigating.
Well, that was part of the weirdness is they immediately came out and said it. Like, there was nothing had happened yet. The story changed twice. And immediately Major League Baseball was like, oh, there's nothing wrong here. We're not doing an investigation. And it was like, wait, what? Like, the dust hasn't even settled. Like, we don't even know what the true story is from this side. And you're saying you're not even going to look into it? You're just immediately like, nothing to see here, folks. So that made that weird. But the Matt brought up the best point, and that's what I've said since the beginning, is the very first story that came out is the one that I believe, which is that he got caught, Shohei found out, wanted to just make it go away, but didn't trust him to pay the bet, so went on ahead, wired the money, and was like, hey, I know everybody makes mistakes, you have a problem, I'm going to fix this, but I don't trust you to do it, because clearly you've already fucked up, I'm going to pay this, we're just going to sweep this under the rug and keep moving. That's the first story that came out, and that's the one I'm choosing to believe. Like Matt says, it doesn't look great. It's awful. But I don't think that Shohei necessarily understood the illegality of the whole thing. And that's why his lawyers immediately came and said, no, that's not what the fuck happened. You can't admit to doing that. That's illegal. Like, no, he stole from you. Like, everybody wanted to do the fall guy thing, but I think it was he actually, you know, was in trouble with this thing. And it was an innocent mistake by Shohei, but that doesn't work in the court of law. You can't just say, oops, made an innocent mistake. Like, you're still going to get in trouble for it. So ultimately, I think that's what comes out. But everybody wanting to crucify Shohei can get fucked because you just want to see the man at the top fall. That's all that is with the internet conspiracy theorists.
As Scott says, Scott was saying, you got fired from McDonald's yesterday. Like, put your phone down, get out and go find a job. Because that's what we were talking about pre-show, is all these people jumping on it. And even, I'm not saying I disagree or I don't believe what you said, but even if that's the case, that it was all innocent, blah, 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 you really think that he's going to get away and not get any suspension? Because, you know, as Robert Taylor said, who does Shohei Ohtani think he is? A congressperson? Like,
I mean, I could see them evicted, trying to make an example and suspending him for some token amount of time.
I was going to say he's got to miss some kind of time if he gets convicted. They can't just let that thing completely slide, right? Like,
yeah, but I don't think it's going to be like to the full extent of the law. Like, if this had happened,
yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be 50 games. I'm thinking at least. Well, I guess he's not pitching, so I was going to say he gets 5 games to at least miss a start. But now, so like what, 3?
Guys, I don't see him missing. Okay, I understand Shohei and Ipe are like best friends and have known each other forever, and like Shohei trusts him so much, and he's been with him from the start, and blah blah blah. I can't think of a person that if I had the means, I would just wire $4.5 million for them. Like that's a part of this story. Like what my mind went to was, okay, when Mookie eventually gets caught up with a bookie and they're threatening to break his kneecaps, what's the most amount I would let him have to pay off his debts? And I'm thinking maybe like $35.
I was gonna say, it's not a lot too, because he was like, it's equivalent of if someone takes 50 cents from you every week and at the end of it they take 450. And so, like, I was like, yeah, so Mike would probably lend me about 450 to get out of the gym.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you scale it way down on the average person, like, and there's been so many people, and we've seen, this is a tale as old as time, famous person, athlete, whoever it may be, has a family member or some longtime friend that they trust, and that person steals from them. Like, shit. Yeah, and like, we've seen it. The problem is this, in this scenario, is that Shohei probably found out somehow, some way, or maybe hell, he might have even went to him and was like, Shohei, I'm bad up. Look, dog, I'm sorry. I done fucked up. Can you help me out? And he's like, yo, we've been together for a long time. This is fucked up, but I'm going to do this for you. You need to get some help. Like, I can totally see that scenario. And everybody that, you know, there's all sorts of people that have been in the interpreter's position that are coming out and saying, you would be shocked at how many people that are rich and famous like this trust these people and do give them access to their account, don't pay attention to it because they don't want to be bothered. And Shohei, I mean, Matt was talking about it at the beginning, this dude has been meticulous his entire career. He brings his own mattress on the road so he can get a full, like, serious? 10 out. Yes, he brings a mattress on the road because to get... He is so meticulous about his sleep, his regimen, everything, that I just can't believe that he's got this degenerative side that nobody knew about. And it doesn't look good. It's really weird, and it's really just like you just want it to go away, but I don't believe that Shohei is the one ultimately with the gambling problem.
So like, when does it go away? Like, honestly, like, how long does this news cycle last?
I think it lasts past
this weekend.
Yeah, I think this is going to go on for a little while. I think until they get done with the investigation, at least on the Major League Baseball level, like, it's going to be hanging out there. Like, we may not hear about it nonstop for the next few months, but until they come back and, you know, say that their investigation is concluded and yada, 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 like, it's going to be out there. Like, it's just going to be this cloud kind of hanging over everything.
Okay, so there's 3 possible scenarios here. We can all agree that there's 3 possible scenarios. Either scenario 1, Ipe has a problem, goes up to Shohei, says, I need help. Shohei says, I'll take care of this for you. Gives him $4.5 million, wires the $4.5 million. Oh, I didn't realize that was a problem, and that's an illegal step. Or
my bad, y'all.
Or Shohei has the problem, and he's placing bets through Ipe, which is now sin of all sins in baseball, excommunicated, banned for life, can never come back in the game, out of the sport forever. Or it's his story where Ipe stole $4.5 million from him to cover the debt. And I think if we're ranking them, that's the least likely of all of them.
Correct. Like that. Correct. I was just about to say that is like Ipe stealing from him is the least likely scenario. I think it's the front runner in the heavy overdog is Ipe had a problem. I think there's a slight chance that Ohtani has the problem, but really Ohtani being that oblivious and it just stolen from him and he had no clue and was never brought into it. I don't buy that at all. And I think the reason why the story initially came out was because Ohtani and Ipe are very good friends and Shohei Ohtani keeps a very small circle. I don't think he wanted to have anyone else come into his circle. I thought if he could protect this guy and keep him on his team,
yes,
he doesn't have to worry about finding someone else to come in that has to learn about how he does everything, about how he operates, about how the teams operate, about how Major League Baseball operates. I think this was really Ohtani trying to cover his ass and keep his guy with him, no matter what.
And I think Kevin makes a solid point here. If it was truly shady, they would have implemented some crypto element. He's going with scenario one. Like,
I mean, in Mike's example of like, okay, I'd be willing to give $35. Like, say this was me and you, right? And you're like, dude, I'm going to give you $35 to like pay off this debt or whatever, but like, you need to get some help. Like get some fucking help, because clearly this has gone sideways and you can't control this anymore. But like, I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want this to get out there. I don't want everything to be thrown off with you in a job. Like, just get help and we can move forward. He was probably just trying to keep it in his circle.
But it's also so realistic, too, that, like, the minute it comes out, the first thing is, Scott stole it. He took it from me. I had nothing to do with Scott. Scott stole my money. That's what it was.
Well, so of course, at the end of the day, you got to save your own ass.
Exactly. Like, Scott.
If we all agree that those are the three possible scenarios, and it's most likely one, potentially two, highly unlikely, the story that Shohei is peddling now of he stole it from me. We have seen time and time again in sports where the cover-up ends up being worse than the crime.
I think that's what this is there.
Is Shohei screwed because he's come out and like changed the story to no, he stole it from me. Like, this, I didn't have anything to do with this. He stole the money. Don't look at me. And then when the investigation uncovers that either he did give him the money or Shohei was the one betting, like, he's going to get the hammer, right? Like, Matt, you were itching to get in there. Sorry.
If he came out right away and played ignorant from the jump, and been like, hey, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to do this. I paid off these gambling debts. He has an issue. He's going to get help for it. I will face whatever ramifications come from the law for me transferring this amount of money without anyone knowing. I will deal with that. I think this would have blown over immediately. I think cooperated from the jump and been like, hey, yeah, I gave him money to pay off his gambling debts. I'm not part of it. I'm happy to let the investigators come and take a look at my money and stuff to see where it came from. And
there's two problems with that, though, because legally he still has to answer those questions and he could face, you know, whatever. And then you've still got the court of public opinion, which then and people are going to be like, whoa, what if he bet on baseball, though? Like, we know all of that, because that's been already out there. And so it's a lose-lose kind of proposition. You just go with the Shaggy defense and you just hit him with the "it wasn't me" and you fucking move on. And lawyers are just gonna tell you, you just deny, and he's gonna get extradited back to Japan. They're gonna set him up with a cushy little bonus. So they're gonna go like, here, don't gamble this away. We're done. Go live your life. And that's gonna be the end of it. Shohei will pay whatever fines. I do think that baseball probably has to, because again, the backlash has been so nuts with the Pete Rose comparisons and all that bullshit that they will have to levy some type of punishment. But I don't think it's going to be a hammer. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. Like, I could see them being like, you're going to sit out 2 weeks or some shit like that.
Well done on the transition, because Pete Rose was asked about
it. I teed that up for you. It's like I've done this before.
Pete was asked about it. I don't even know who put this camera in his face in Las Vegas watching March Madness.
Dude, this is his ass on True Social right here. Like, this is him on his own stupid ass account. That's the only reason why no one's seen it. Like, Pete don't know how to social media, right?
So this is somebody had posted this video of Pete Rose, and this is what Pete had to say about the Shohei situation.
This fucking idiot.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
Like, this is that uncle in the family where it's like, can we just get him to stay off social media? Just like, take him off Facebook, because it's not doing anyone any good. Like, just limit the damage. Like, come on, man.
I just love that. Like, okay, Pete, you've denied it for all these years, and then you drop this video where you're like, I wish I had an interpreter. I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids. I could have kept on cashing checks and doing dirty stuff with 13-year-olds. Life would have been great.
So Shohei is going with the Shaggy defense, and Pete Rose is going with the Mr. Barnes who owns the museum defense, and these meddling kids would have gotten out of my way. I would have gotten away with it.
Mm-hmm. Which is always a great look, people.
It's such a false equivalency to just be sitting there like, well, now Shohei's done it. Like, I'm surprised he didn't drop some type of like racial component in there because it's fucking Pete and he's a dirtbag.
Oh, you were waiting for it too, right?
Like, oh yeah, like
it was,
I mean,
like, right around the corner, and then the video ended. I was like, damn, he got out without making it.
Right, like, I'm looking at this as like, how much did he get paid? Is this like a cameo? Like, this looks like a fucking Pete Rose cameo.
Like a cameo.
It could be that Scott. I would not be shocked.
This is, and you mentioned something about the uncle thing, and I made a minute to just like, you know, the uncle who gets busted for diddling, and it's just like, well, there was a time when it was okay in America to just marry somebody who was, you know, only 13, but they wouldn't change the laws, and I guess it's not okay. I guess we don't live in America anymore. Like, get the fuck out of here, Pete. Come on, man.
Right.
Just stay quiet for once in your life. Like, you're just like, you know what? I don't have anything to say about it. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's not the same thing. It's just, I just want to live my life. But no, Pete has to. This is me. I've had an interpreter. Get the fuck out of here.
I hate to give him credit for it, but Tyson finally got one to stick. Pete, baseball is so woke now. And Scott correctly pointing out, why is Pete Rose still a thing? Exactly right. Like, fuck that guy. He's never getting in the Hall of Fame. End of discussion.
That's my favorite thing about this whole situation is this has given people new life to bring back the, okay, well, now that the greatest player to ever do it has bet on baseball, we got to let Pete in the Hall of Fame now. Like,
oh, God. All the bleeding hearts. All of them coming out of the woodwork with that shit. It's like, shut your ass up. Like, who in the year 2024 of our Lord is still stumping for Pete Rose when we know what a piece of shit human being is? It's not just the gambling, Pete. It's that you're a fucking horrible human being. That's why you're not in the Hall of Fame. It's a combination of things. It's the amount of times they gave you to just fess up and went to you and said, yo, just admit you did it. Apologize. We'll let you in. And he defiantly is like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to write a book and still deny it. And here I'm going to make excuses for it. Like, he just can't get out of his own way.
And then there was the whole 16-year-old girl thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, banging underage kids.
Definitely. You don't want to leave that on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, of course not.
I'm trying to come up with a third for a sip chug drain pour because I've got Pete Rose. I've got, hello, Twitter world. With OJ, and I'm trying to come up with a third throw into that as worst, like, all-time greats that turn into massive pieces of shit.
John Rocker.
No. First of all, the man said all-time greats, and as much as I enjoy John Rocker's career in Atlanta, nobody would classify him as an all-time great, okay?
I was already thinking Rocker before he said all-time great. I was just waiting
from grace to something. It's got to be somebody else. Like, there, and let's workshop this, because Pete, OJ, and like, let's find a basketball or hockey
player. Kobe. Someone dropped Kobe in there.
Scott. Kobe. Kobe. Gabe said P. Diddy, timely topic.
Well, yeah.
Robert saying Vince McMahon. Scott.
There you go. There it is. Yes.
Right. We're getting hyped about our own demise on this one.
Sip Chug Drain Pour is OJ, Pete Rose,
Vince McMahon.
Good Lord. Is that worth that far? You're an asshole for this one.
You get crucified no matter who you choose.
This feels like a pass because
there's no winning. There's no winning this one.
They're all sexual predators, right? So there is no way out of this. This is the Kobe.
OJ wasn't a sexual predator. Are you sure? Murderer. I don't think he.
Okay. I mean, that's okay. If you just killing people's different. Like, you know, we look at that differently here in America. It's when you start touching people that's when we have a problem. Like.
He just really enjoyed being on the slopes.
I was going to say, I guess I'll step into that one. And I guess I have to sip OJ because he's the only one that didn't commit a sexual felony.
Oh, God. Gave threw out Karl Malone, too.
Cold. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. There it is.
Oh, no.
Remember last week when we were having fun talking about platypuses? Can we get that?
Like, we can have multiple sip chug drain pours on this one now.
Oh, my God. All right. Hold on, Mookie. Mookie, go back. Go back to Mookie because he started. Respect the game. Finish it. So you're sipping OJ. You prefer murderous bastards. Go ahead.
Murderous bastards over sexual predators. And then I'm going to just pour in the other two. Like,
you can't pour drink both. You have to chug somebody.
Fine. Then I'll chug Vince because...
There's no right answer.
I mean, I'm like trying to think of a reason why. I'm like, I guess let me just be completely honest. I'm gonna chug Vince because I'm not as aware of his sexual crimes as I am with Pete Rose.
They're pretty fucking bad, dude.
So what is there to split them? You just gotta pick one and say, I'm gonna just focus on sipping OJ. Like, boy, who would have thought that would have been something to look forward to?
Ivar, who you got? OJ? Pete Rose and Vince McMahon.
Other than bad ideas,
I'm gonna sip OJ because
callously murdering two people is okay compared to
because hello Twitter world is fucking hilarious, and for him to write a book if I did it, telling him exactly how he did it, it's absurd. I'm going to chug Pete Rose. And it's, I'm chugging Pete Rose. I'm drain pouring Vince McMahon because fuck that guy. And
trust me, that doesn't feel any better if you reverse him, Matt. Like, you're fucked either way. So just,
both push right on through.
Scott, it is so wild to like universally be sipping a double homicide.
I'll take the guy who killed two people. Okay, that's fine. I'll take that one.
And it's like, not only that, like I'm sipping OJ. I'm poor draining Pete Rose, and I'm chugging Vince. Like, Vince comes off as just little dick energy that just, you know, carried him through that whole thing, and then. I'm not going to try to break it down. There's my answer. Fuck it. Sipping OJ.
As soon as you start to try and justify
it. Yeah, I was just going to say, once you start talking it through, it's like, hold on, where are your morals? No, I'm not going to break it down.
They're gone. There is no picks. Good.
I respect the game. Sipping OJ, poor draining Pete, and chugging Vince. That's it. That's my final answer.
All right, I'm going to sip OJ, obviously. and then I'm going to chug it.
Went through a tunnel.
That's what I'm going with, okay? That's my choice.
Respect the game, Mike.
A hook like this? No, fuck you.
As long as Lou Holtz tells us what he's doing.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. What does Lou Holtz think about this?
What does Lou Holtz have to say about this?
Lou's going to go ahead and sip on OJ Simpson. On the field, he was one of the best. And just a lot of problems off the field, but OJ on the field, I try to separate the man and the player, okay? So I'm going to sip on OJ.
Lou would totally do that.
Then I'm.
He really would.
He would. Then old Lou can go ahead and oh Jesus Christ.
Man, that's bad. Lou Holtz just swore. That's
bad. I know Lou Holtz loses his religion.
Lou's gonna go ahead. I didn't say that in vain. I was praying. I was trying to get answer this question. Because it's a tough question for old Lou. I'm going to chug Vince McMahon, and I'm going to drain poor Pete Rose. Okay, that's a final answer for me.
Oh, my God.
Rex saying, Mike acting like a kid losing online and faking bad internet before disconnecting. I thought that was the only play. I thought that was the best play to go
with. Oh, man.
What a terrible sip chug drain pour that was.
Seriously.
Yeah, thank you for that, Matt Barr. Thank you for your service.
God, I mean, do we want to throw Diddy in there as a bonus? Fuck.
There were so many. That's the worst part. Like, the comments kept coming with just people that I'm like, doesn't make it better if that name's in there.
Right, for real.
Karl Malone doesn't make it easier.
No, it's easy out in that lineup.
Like, none of the – we are surrounded by just awful people in the celebrity world.
Oh, yeah.
The worst. Tyson wants to know, did Lawrence Taylor have relations
with a youngster?
I think he was just coked out, right? I don't think.
Yeah, he was just real into the powder.
You know, but the like seriously, at this point, like all of these famous people that come out and you hear about this whole pedophilia thing, and I'm just like, is there anybody who didn't do that? Like, is there anybody that reached that hero status that didn't? Like, I guess OJ's over there like, nah, I just murdered fucking people. I
wasn't having sex with
kids, but, you know, I'll stab a bitch or two.
I'll keep my nose
clean. OJ's like, I'm not looking too bad now, am I, huh? How about that? You guys want to come back and go, hello, Twitter world. I'm right over here now.
Right. God.
All right, so Shohei maybe didn't bet on baseball. You guys have convinced me, even though people are saying he did and then are pointing to bad starts that he had, and they're like, this is connected to a big
God. If you want to go down a few rabbit holes, there's some folks out there that have all the receipts about games that he bet on that he was involved in where he performed poorly, and it's just like, come the fuck on,
y'all. The best was a thread I saw on Twitter from a guy who had like all these games, and he was like,
Timmy Smokes.
All of these games and pointed out all of these, like, in here, and then Shohei did this, and he lasted three innings, and blah blah blah. And the best response I saw was just some dude that responded back and was like, seems like all these bets hit. How is he $4.5 million in the hole? And I was like, hold up your entire fucking argument, Timmy Smokes. The whole thing is shot now.
And I saw that. I saw a response that just said, somebody just said, you need to go outside and see the sun. I'm like, yes. Timmy Smokes had too much time on his hand to type up a 10-page Twitter thread breaking down all these times and connecting dots. It's like he had him placing bets back in his hometown in Japan. Like, come on, guys, what are we doing?
See, homie was off his Lawrence Taylor. He was off his LT, and he was just ready to sit down, close them blinds, and go to work. Because, I mean, even digging in that deep to find that many games with the lines was that close.
Seriously.
Shohei has played and pitched is bananas. And I mean, if you got that time on your hands, that's good for you. I sent that to the fantasy baseball group chat because I just wanted to piss off Mike Kaiser, who has Shohei, and I've just been constantly needling him that Shohei definitely bet on baseball. He 1000% is going to be suspended for life just to piss off Scott's brother.
Do we hit Rex's, or should we just let that slide?
Holy shit. The Diamondbacks.
Let's do it. I mean, look, it can't be worse than what we just did.
Rex-a-million saying, sip, chug, drain, pour. Who you getting help with a homicide? OJ, Ray Lewis, or Aaron Hernandez?
I'll take first on this one. I'm going to sip OJ because he got away with it scot-free. Even though it wasn't the 70s or 80s there, Pete. I'm going to, in a shocking twist, I'm going to chug Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, wow.
Because he at least got a couple under his belt before he got caught. And I'm going to drain pour Ray Lewis because he would 1000% throw me under the bus and I'm going to jail instead of him.
That is the correct answer. Yep. 100%. You drain pour Ray Lewis because he's a snake. You chug Aaron Hernandez because
y'all are doing this all wrong.
He's crazy, and then you sip OJ. That's the correct answer, Matt.
Then go ahead. You got
the opposite.
I am sipping Ray Lewis because my man committed murder in an all white suit, bro. Like, he got away with murder in all
flipped. Suit. He only got away with it because he flipped and ran out of dude.
I know, but he got away with it and all what. Like, he was looking fly. Like, OJ was probably, you know, he had the leather gloves on, he had the hat, the Scully. Like, he was doing it like straight, just criminal style. Aaron Hernandez, dumbass, just shot a guy in the middle of the night at some back alley. Like, fucking Ray was like, I'm gonna look good and I'm gonna fucking murder you, and then I'm gonna snitch on somebody else. Like, I'm sipping.
And
that
I'm gonna
shit.
Win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna win a Super Bowl after that. Like, Ray Lewis was gangster with it. Also, if I see Ray in public, like, yo, Ray, I'm sipping you, dog. Don't fuck me up. Like, I feel like I could take OJ and I don't have to worry about Aaron Hernandez. So yeah, I'm sipping Ray.
You know what? I'm gonna flip because I was the same with Ray Lewis because I was like, his shit went down, and then he went on to be even more successful after that. Whereas with OJ and Aaron, it was all downhill. So, yeah, Scott, I think you might have the right one. You sip Ray Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you.
You chug OJ, because, I mean, he did get away with it. And then you pour Dre and Aaron, because I just, that guy, he's,
well, and he's Aaron's dead.
The one that I'd flip and shoot you. He would put a bullet in the back of your head tying up loose ends.
The real way to do this is you sip Ray Lewis, because he's a man of God. He's a man of faith. That's the man you got to do. Then you go ahead and you chug OJ because, like I said before, great player on the field, and you can separate that. You have to drain poor Aaron Hernandez because some of the things that he did, he's probably down in hell, okay? Like, he has made some choices in his life that the good Lord just doesn't agree with. So Aaron Hernandez got to be drain poor.
So, Lou, I'm glad you brought up the religion thing. My question was going to be, if you sip Ray Lewis, do you have to pretend to find Jesus afterwards, or can you just go back to living your normal life?
Matt, but everybody can just go ahead and find Jesus, okay? We just need to find Jesus. Regardless of what has happened in your past, he'll accept you as long as you accept him as your Lord and Savior.
Oh, fuck.
It's so crap. It's so crime scenes. What the fuck am I doing, man? What am I doing with my life? All right, let's talk basketball. Boom shakalaka! There's more gambling shit going on in basketball. there's a big story. Jonte Porter, who you only should know as Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, because nobody heard this name before this story came out, but apparently he's been flagged for suspicious activity where in two games in particular where his unders cashed, they were the biggest payouts on like DraftKings at the time. And in both cases, he left the game early after like 4 minutes. One because his eye was re-aggravated. He had a re-aggravated eye injury. And then the other one because his stomach hurt. So this dude didn't even try to hide the fact that he was like, listen, bet my unders, okay? And I'm just bailing on this game. Like, he didn't even try to do something where he was like throwing up bad shots or like hacking guys to get foul out. He literally was just like, my eye, right, coach, you got to take me out. I'm done. I'm done for the day. And played 4 minutes, and all of his unders hit, and it was like the big payout. And DraftKings was like, hey, that's a lot of action we just paid out on Jonte Porter. Why? Why did we just
The system flagged those bets. Jesus, idiot.
So the thing I don't get about these guys either too is like, man, you want to milk that cow. Like, you right. make more money when you really extend it out over the long run. Like, you gotta be like,
when you take $50,000 out of your client's account at a time instead of 4.5 mil all at one time. Like, they don't notice if you're doing slow. You got a slow play. These motherfuckers are quick to just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bet $2 million that I don't play 5 minutes tonight. Oh, I left at 4. Oh, I had loose bodies in my eye, coach. I can't see. Like, what the fuck is that shit? Like, the lamest way possible too. Like, I'd be coming up lame, you know, go crashing into the photographer in the front row, like, oh fuck up my arm, like, oh. Like, I'd make a show of it. This guy was just like, oh, my eye, stomach hurt. He, like, the excuses he used are the same ones the kids use. Like, oh, what, homework, my stomach.
You know, he said belly. He didn't say stomach. He said
I got a tummy hurt. I don't want to finish my dinner, but can I get some ice cream? That was this guy. That was this fucking guy. Like, I can't play tonight, but cash some bets, right? Like, those are coming in.
Well, no, what's worse, Scott, is you know he was sitting in his locker right after the game, or hell, maybe even at halftime, checking his phone. Like, you know, he was pulling it up and be like, yo, oh shit.
And he probably pulled a Sammy Sosa and left the arena early too. Like, got dressed and fucking was out. Like, stomach hurt, went home to get some Pepto, also had to cash out. I mean, wait, what? Not that last part.
My man walked up to his coach and was like, I threw up. No, wait.
You see him over on the sidelines just putting his fingers down his throat, like,
You guys were talking about slow playing, and you're right. I mean, Tim Donaghy fixed games for like a years. Decade.
Right.
Decade, yeah. Making his money because right. He was smart about it. Dude, you are the ninth man on the Raptors. Of course your fucking unders are going to hit. You don't need an eye infection. Your tummy doesn't need to hurt. Just go out there and play your normal game and you'll be fine. You're not going to hit the
Yo, unders. An office I don't space.
Jonte Porter?
Jonte Porter, yeah.
That's a name. Go get your unders on your own.
In office space, they were stealing a penny at a time. You got to think small and play the long game, man.
It's basketball, right? Like, if it's your points, just fucking pass the ball, yo. Just get them apples, right? Like, just pass it around. Be out there. You don't even have to do anything. Just don't shoot. Just take the Ben Simmons approach. Like, man, it pains me to see these kids with so much potential and opportunity just throw it all away.
That's a take.
What really pains you, Mookie, is, and I think this is why it's so aggravating.
Well, yeah, I mean,
is you now as a degenerate who like spends so much time betting cannot trust that these guys are not fixing things for themselves. Like you,
true. You're right. They're ruining the integrity of the game. Like it's the worst thing possible. Like above all else, protect the integrity of the line.
Unless you're gonna give Mookie an inside tip, and then he's all for it. Let him go.
Yes. Let
him go. Mookie's just upset he wasn't in on this.
I mean,
that's a good point.
This is the way it goes. This is how sports operate now. That's the take he would have.
I'm trying to mark this.
We might have just stumbled on something because Mike and Scott both started T-ball in baseball practice. So we've got what, like 8 years to figure out how to work this system to start making money off them?
Who isn't having fun because you're the party's degenerate gambler.
I'm just saying, retire, right? Like, I'd love to retire, and I know Social Security ain't going to be there, so we could put some money back into the team too. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what we do. Like 10 cents on every dollar, right? 10 cents every dollar goes back to the kid.
Who isn't having fun because you're the party's degenerate gambler?
I was texting my bookie. Don't worry about it. Like I gotta get action on the brothers of guys that are barely NBA players themselves.
Scott said 56 minutes may be a record for a Mookie derail.
I'm actually proud. Well, thanks, Scott. Just doing my part.
Scott Kizer, a nice little reminder that Seth Curry still exists.
True. Well played. Well played.
You want to bet some unders on brothers who probably don't deserve to be in the league. Look no further than Antetokounmpo. Okay, that kid.
Oh wow. Brother,
yeah.
Trash.
Yeah.
And trash.
Some clout though when you like scare your employer into keeping your brother or like leaving. Like, yeah, you will employ my much less talented brother or I will leave your franchise.
And you'll pay him league minimum, which is what, like 850K, maybe even like 2 million now depending on his seniority. Like that's a heavy bill for keeping
that's
your
a good
brother
right there. My brother would not do that for me. My brother would 100% be like, you need to cut his ass, like get him the fuck off the floor. I'm tired of him hanging out here, like get rid of
as the older brother. I would totally not want I'd be like, you gotta get him the fuck out of here. I'd be like, all right, I'll pay for your gambling debts, but like you can't just be hanging on. I can't be having to go to bat for you every fucking day. Just manage my money. Just, you know, well, I trust you.
Let's switch gears. We're into the Sweet 16. Matt Barr, I'm sorry about your Dukes, James Madison. Although I did see your creepy-ass mascot trolling Kyle Flipkowski in that game. Did you see that with his sign?
Yeah, I did, barely. I was so frustrated with that game. JMU's best player got foul trouble in the first 1 minute of the game, and they were immediately into the bench. And so they were fucked.
Welcome to our hell, Matt Barr, because 2004 Elite Eight, Xavier versus Duke, Anthony Miles fucking dominated for the entire first half until Coach K went and bitched to the refs. And the next thing you know, they come out at halftime. Anthony Miles is immediately in foul trouble. And then Duke pulls away and fucking J.J. Redick moves on, that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Same thing happened. Two ticky-tack fouls within the first minute of the game. And like, oh, your guy that scores 24 points a game has to sit on the bench for the rest of the half? Damn.
Gabe says,
yeah, that's not news, Gabe. That's not news. He said he was going to leave in the middle of the year.
But he did say he might come to X. So that's pretty exciting.
Oh.
Dead to me, Terrence Edwards. You did great. Hey, JMU went 32-4, including their loss to Duke. Head over heels. It's the first time they won an NCAA tournament game since 93. I love what JMU's done this year. Big fan.
There were some good upsets in the first round. Not as much in the second round. In the end, the bracket kind of looks a little chalky, which it's not really that fun. Like, I am hoping that we get some better games in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. There hasn't been that March moment yet. You know what I mean? Like, I guess you could say Golkey's game against Kentucky is like the moment of the tournament so far, but even that one doesn't feel like it was that great of a thing. Like, the whole tournament in general, I mean, we talked about how we weren't even excited for it coming into it, but watching those games over the weekend, I was like, I felt very meh about the whole thing. Am I alone in that feeling? Is anybody else feeling like this was kind of a mediocre tournament so far? Scott, how are you feeling about it?
Dude, I told you last week I didn't give a fuck about this shit, and I cared more about Caitlin Clark. Like, this has been the most mess shit ever. Your boy was just sitting there against Kentucky talking about corner three. Like, he was with the Peter Griffin, and that was the most exciting thing that's happened. Everything else has sucked ass. Like, I don't even – when I was on my phone just a second ago, you know what I was doing? I was like, what the fuck does my bracket even look like? We're about to talk about this thing. I haven't looked at my bracket since I filled it out. Like, I just discovered I was in fifth place. That's how much I've paid attention to this shit.
It's all right. You're going to fade quickly.
I'm done, but it's fine. I mean, like, it's been awful. It's been boring. I didn't know anything that happened but the Kentucky game, and that's because I live with a diehard Kentucky fan. Like,
at least you're not in last place.
Guys, that sucker. Sucks to be them.
Scott said the Oakland North Carolina State game was probably the best game so far. I could give them that. NC State has had it's crazy that they're the Cinderella team this year. They're the biggest long shot left in the tournament, and they're a fun team to watch. But just overall, man, just the tournament in general feels really crappy. Mookie, I know you've got a different feeling on it because you won some money, but the gambling part out of it, have you enjoyed the tournament? Like, watching games. Okay.
I haven't watched it at all. Actually watched more of the women's. Dead ass serious.
There it is. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, so this might be too actual sportsy, but like, there is a part of me that thinks the four quarters in the women's game plays better than the two halves.
I do like the four quarters, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. It moves a little bit better, just feels smoother, and I don't know. But I've not watched a minute of the men's games yet. Like, I've watched Caitlin Clark's two games, parts of those, and then that Duke Ohio State game this weekend. And I don't know. Outside of that, I feel like I think part of it is there's so much coverage now on your phone with the app alerts, with the game updates, it's just so easy to drop in and out. I don't really feel compelled to sit down there and watch a whole game, especially because Xavier's not in the tournament, which is not surprising. Like, I kind of checked out of college basketball back in like January when it was pretty apparent we weren't going to make the tournament. I was like, all right, cool. Like, let's get in some NBA. Let's get some NHL time and pay some attention there. But
samesies, bro.
It's just not compelling, man. Sorry.
Like, seriously. I mean, when the writing was on the wall that Xavier had no chance, and it was shortly after the calendar flipped over, it was like, I think I'm done. Like, if fantasy baseball was a priority at that point, like, I don't give a shit about anything else that's going on.
Crazy.
It's like, oh, the Niners don't blow this in the Super Bowl and fantasy baseball prep. That's it for the last 2 months.
I love that you put fantasy baseball prep ahead of actual
sports.
100%. Sports were on the back burner. Like, if anybody, like, if there was a log on how much time I've spent prepping for fantasy baseball over the last since the season ended. I don't even think I want to see the number because it would. I think I might have a problem. Like, you might have to throw up the degenerate thing for me. And there's not even a bunch of money at stake. It's just fucking bragging rights. Like, I've got an issue.
Party,
but I don't care.
Degenerate fantasy baseball player. Matt Barr,
Scott's been asking me for 3 months who I'm going to draft. We just had a draft Sunday. He's been asking me for 3 months who I was going to draft.
It's true.
It's fantasy baseball prep has been.
Anytime there's a lull in the conversation. So, Matt, who are you drafting first?
Bang. There it is.
Matt, outside of JMU, have you been interested in the tournament at all?
Not really. I watched the JMU games. Well, I watched half of the second game because I was only half paying attention. I got a TV up in my office, so I had the games on, but I wasn't like sitting down and focused on watching. It's more like I do a little bit of work, spin around, watch a couple minutes of the game, spin around, do some work, spin around. You know, I didn't follow it all that. But again, I've talked about it before. I don't know who any of these kids are, so I don't care.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we were watching games, you know, 5 nights a week. We knew all the players. We knew all the teams. We knew everything. A lot of these guys stayed in for 4 years. I don't know who any of these guys are. I don't care. Maybe my bracket hits. Maybe it doesn't. I'm currently in fourth place. I just checked. I don't care because I haven't checked. I didn't know. Oh, also, Berline, you're talking a lot of shit to Mookie for someone who's only like 3 spots above him.
I'm still ahead of him. And I have a lot of my team still left. Like, I haven't been ruled out. Normally, at this point, I've lost like 4 Elite 8 teams, 2 of my Final 4s, and my champions gone. Like, that's where I'm at normally once we get to the Sweet 16 time. I'm still alive. Like, I have a shot at this thing. So, yes, I will talk all the shit to Mookie forever.
I mean, I don't know.
Blind faith in your bracket.
Mean about it.
I'm not being mean about it. You're just – it's stunning to me that you put together a 9-leg parlay that hit. It hit. Like, your 9-leg parlay actually hit. Granted, you cashed out before that Alabama game, but that 9-leg parlay hit, and you have been terrible in the bracket. It's mind-boggling to me that you were able – and that's the other thing. I was like, well, maybe he picked a lot of, like, spreads and it – no, you went money line. Like, you picked the winners of 9 straight games, and you can't do that in a bracket. It's
a completely different environment, man. Like, your head's in a different space.
It's the same thing.
Well, actually, you know what it is, Mike? Money is on the line.
Okay.
Hey, if we ain't playing for money, like, what the fuck do I care, right? Like, no, I'm out here to win cash.
Gabe asking, speaking of basketball, have you guys seen the dumpster fire going down in Louisville? Yes. I did want to bring that up. Dusty May, who, if you remember, he was the one that LeBron wanted Ohio State to hire. He was the guy that was like, maybe if you hire Dusty May, like, maybe my kid will come up there and maybe there's an NIL deal in it for you. I don't know. Like, we'll see what we can do. And Dusty May turned down the Louisville job. Like, he was like, no, I don't want to touch this with a fucking 10-foot pole. And instead went to Michigan, which I take as just a fuck you to Ohio State and LeBron in general. That Dusty May was like, oh, LeBron wants me to go to Ohio State? I'm going to go to Michigan instead and just beat Ohio State.
You love to see it.
I mean, right. If it weren't for Michigan, this would be like a Disney movie ending. But even still, it's just great to see it happen to the Buckeyes of anyone. Buckeye basketball can suck a dick. Like,
agreed.
No love there.
Agreed. Mm-mm. So I asked you guys, and we all agree, like, we're not interested in the tournament. Haven't really been watching a ton. There hasn't been a ton. Yet the numbers are up.
Oh, yeah, dude. You're through
the roof. The numbers are.
Are they really?
It's like, oh, yeah. They're averaging like 9 million. Like, it's.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Matt Barr is giving the Johnny Manziel money fingers.
It's the betting. It's the betting. Betting is mm-hmm. It's so huge now across all sports. And I'll tell you what, there might be some kids on the end of the Yale bench that are tanking and make sure their unders hit. You know, it's really that's really what it's coming down to is these NCAA players are ruining the integrity of the game and they're
ruining
on their unders. They're tanking on their unders and they're making sure they hit so that the bettors can win. That's why we're chalk. Why we're chalk, because all the college players are taking a dive. A
lot of tummies hurt, huh?
People throwing up all over the place.
There's one more basketball story I wanted to get to. They announced today, so the Paris Olympics are coming up, and I forgot that 3-on-3 basketball was part of the Olympics. Did you guys remember that?
Didn't that happen like 3 years ago? Like, wasn't it like right after the last Olympics that they approved all this shit? It's like, forgot that was going to be a thing.
So the U.S. has unveiled their roster for the 3-on-3 basketball. Now, you would think with the plethora of talent that we have in the U.S. that we would have some big names on our three-on-three team. You would be sorely mistaken. Here is the USA team for the three-on-three basketball roster. Canyon Berry. And if you don't know that name, it's Rick Berry's son. That's like his claim to fame. Also, he's supposedly a three-on-three specialist. That's what they said in his bio. They were like, he's a three-on-three specialist. I don't know if that means he's had like time in the big three or what, but he's like the guy when
he comes seasoned from three seasons at the big three. Like he's really put in some work there. Like this guy knows the ins and the outs of that game. Jesus Christ.
Also on the team is Kareem Maddox, everybody. Kareem Maddox. Oh. Make some noise for Kareem Maddox. You don't recognize that name? Oh, that's because he played his college ball at Princeton and then played overseas. So cool.
Well, he's the brains of the operation.
then Dylan Travis. Right?
Are you sure he doesn't play baseball? That sounds
are
like
you guys excited
name.
About this?
That sounds like a country singer.
This no. is yeah, guys, this roster is stacked. Dylan Travis, he's a D2 national champion, everybody. Like, that's a name. Okay. That's a guy.
Okay.
And the roster is rounded out by Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, there
oh see, my okay, god. before you said the second name, I was like, was Jimmer Fredette not available? And then I thought, no, he's played professionally, so that's probably eliminated from this competition for whatever reason. That was the name that I absolutely thought. Jimmer Fredette is probably a fucking all-star, but he can't even crack the starting three for this squad.
Well, Jesus I think Christ, he's, I reordered it to get the joke. I think Jimmer Fredette is like number two man.
He's our ringer.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just going to say, but like, guys, damn.
Not, like, okay, Team USA is going to go out there, and not all of the guys are going to be picked for the Team USA roster to, like it's going to be like LeBron and Steph Curry. There is so much NBA talent that we are leaving behind because they're not going to make that roster. Why are we not just making our three-on-three roster just four guys who just didn't quite make the cut for the actual basketball team? Like, why is it Jimmer Fredette and Rick Barry's kid and a kid from Princeton and a guy that played D2 basketball? What the fuck are we doing, man?
Look, Mookie took a shot at Ben Simmons earlier. Ben Simmons might have a career in three-on-three basketball, where the court is wide open. Yeah. He doesn't have to shoot. He gets to be tall and play defense. He might actually be the best guy that the U.S. could put on their three-on-three team. Just
think about the
layup. This guy's 6'11", can kind of dribble. It seems to make sense. But, yeah, I don't understand this, given a bunch of at least one white guy. I'm guessing the others are white to some extent, judging by the names.
Clearly, no
giving them a shot over a lot of these guys in the NBA who just are clearly better at basketball. And there may be some intricate three-on-three basketball thing, I don't know, where they've perfected this and they've been playing together for months and months and years or whatever. But this.
No, we couldn't find.
It doesn't move the needle.
We couldn't find one U.S. resident who had D apostrophe to start his name to play in this thing. Like D apostrophe any. Oh, why's it gotta be race? I mean, it could be a white guy. I said a person who had D apostrophe something. You motherfuckers are racist for assuming that I meant it had to be a black guy.
I mean, Gabe had asked for it just a little bit earlier, so I'm ready for it.
Gabe said
that was Martin for me, but I'm laughing at Tyson's.
Yeah.
The Jimmer? Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know.
Wait, should we just call him Immer because he ain't got no D and he ain't got no J?
Boom. So, although he does have a J. I mean, he had a J. It may not be wet anymore, but he had a J.
Scott is 100% correct. 30 years too late, those and one teams would have.
Yes.
This. Can you imagine the professor going out there? I think the
Skip to my Lou would be all in, dude.
Give me Escalade out there, just big body and everybody.
This is awesome, though, because I fell down the professor TikTok rabbit hole recently because I was trying to find a video of, like, who was the guy that was always on the court, the announcer with his towel, just, like, breaking it down as they were playing, because I tried to reference that and people didn't know what I was talking about. I was like, y'all need to see about this. The professor is still out there, though, just like slicing people up. It is awesome to watch him go. Like, he comes up to the camera afterwards and like, dog, you're old as fuck. But he's still out there just busting it. And he might have gotten better. That's the scary part.
Like, we couldn't get a de-Ethan? Is that not a thing? Is there not a what? Is there not a de-Ethan out there somewhere?
All I know is when the one thing I've said about the Paris Olympics is if one of the countries that has a large number of their athletes be black, and when they walk out for the opening ceremonies, they get to choose a song. They have the chance to do the funniest thing of all time. If they want to play Jay-Z and Kanye West when their team walks in.
They got in trouble for that. The Paris Olympics got in trouble for that because they used that song in an ad and they left it uncensored.
Oh, dude.
Yes.
Come on, man. Yes.
I love it. They smoke their cigarettes upside down and they're racist as fuck.
Scott's like, I'm here for it.
You might as well lean into it. You know, come with your preconceived notions. I don't give a shit. Like, how great would it be if it was an and one team that got off the bus at the Olympics for us? It's just three of our thuggiest dudes that are just like, just go over there and bully this shit. Bring home the gold.
Could we still
like, we just got Pookie and them playing in the fucking 3-on-3. Like, that's the team name, Pookie and them. we could just go to the every prison has a basketball team, right, that just dominates. Like, we just take the three best prison league guys and be like, yo, y'all are playing for your freedom, go bring home the gold and we'll get you paroled.
Scott legit just took longest yard and mashed it up like, cool run.
I mean, like, I'm just that. Saying let's like and we would just go over there and just fucking dominate. Fucking Pierre wouldn't know what hit him.
Oh, awesome.
Well, I'll just say this. Scott's got to be the one to go tell them they're playing for their F word, because I ain't going to be the one to tell them that.
I do what I got to do. You know what? I'll be team captain. I'll take a free trip to Paris. Y'all go do what you do. You know, body these.
Turn your body cams off.
Yeah.
Go body these motherfuckers.
Scott's sitting up on the sideline, feet up, eating a croissant, just chilling.
Right. I'm just hanging out. Cognac in one hand, croissant in the other. I'm leaning into the whole thing, baby.
More three man weaves.
Hey, yo, Pookie! Warm! Warm! What are you doing? Oh, shit.
I can see it too, though. I can picture it in my head because Scott's still in there. He's got the tracksuit. Now, wait, would you go tracksuit?
Oh, tracksuit. 100%. Okay, 100%. Right. We ain't wearing no suit. Fuck no.
It's either
tracksuit or oversized white t-shirt with a
top. Oh, with a headband too. Yeah, like we're going early 2000s, late 90s, like hood, yeah. With it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you gotta get them. You gotta get them St. Bonaventure shorts.
Yes.
Oh God.
Hell yes. See, like we're workshopping how to make the Olympics great again.
Just solving problems.
Jimmer Fredette's still on the team though for some reason. Gotta keep one of these things is not like the other.
Well, you know, you gotta bring that token. So, you know, if it's like if somebody goes down, like we can have or when things get out of hand, you just bring in the white guy just to shoot the lights out. It's like, and this is an embarrassment. And as Jimmer Fredette shoots another three, that'll put him up by 40.
If the Olympics were played in March, when it is prime white boy shooting season, Jimmer might have a shot in the Olympics, but they're playing in the summer when it's not our time. Our time is our time's past. We just had our one weekend of basketball where white boys can go out there and just light it up. You'll be an accountant in 3 weeks, but you can light it up on the basketball court now. Our time's past. Jimmer's not going to be there in July. It's not going to work.
Oh, shit. I'm just very hyped for this tournament now. I think I'm more excited for the 3-on-3.
Dude, there's 10 minutes left and we haven't bitched about these NFL rules. And all I kept thinking about when you sent out that fucking rundown was fuck this shit.
All right. Well, in that
case, here's the transition, baby. Professional podcaster.
There's also like, I wanted to talk men's national team with Mookie and the Dosicero win over Mexico.
No. We got to.
We're talking football right now.
I got an old man. This shit.
Let's talk about the MLS refs coming back.
If you're living under a rock, the NFL has had some rule changes this week that were announced. Number one, the hip drop tackle is officially banned. They've been talking about doing this all year long, and it finally come out and said it's officially banned. Nobody is happy about this. Players are furious. The NFLPA didn't like it. There was only one player I saw that came out and was like, you know what? I lost my right ankle to this tackle along with a quarter of my season in 2021. So good. I'm glad that this is banned now. So
what running backs
are happy. I think it was some dude that played for the Raiders. I can't remember. so the hip drop tackle is officially banned. Fans are outraged. They're furious about it. We got to see all the tweets. They're like, just make it flag football. Put a skirt on them. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that was the big thing that went over social media. And then today it was announced that we have changes to the kickoff rule. Now, the kickoff, this is all in the name of player safety, fellas. They have stolen an XFL concept once again. So we talked about it when the XFL was out. We were like, what are they going to take? What are they going to steal from them? Apparently, they stole the kickoff. So here's the new kickoff rules. Only the kicker and the return man are allowed to move during the kick. The kickoff team lines up like 10 yards apart from the return team on their half of the 50, like the 40 and the 30 yard line. The ball has to land between the 20 and the back of the end zone. If it goes into the end zone, it's a touchback, ball at the 25. If it lands in the landing area, you have to return it at that point. If it lands short of the landing area, that's considered out of bounds, first down at the 40. If it lands in the landing area but then goes out of the back of the end zone, that's a touchback at the 30-yard line. And then nobody can move until the ball is caught. So this is exactly what we need, is a complicated kickoff system to be put in place when we don't even know what a fucking catch is in the NFL. So
stole the wrong rule. They stole the wrong fucking rule. They stole the wrong fucking rule. The kickoff should be this. Huh, it doesn't fucking exist anymore. If you score, the other team gets the ball to 25, or you can go for 4th and 15 from your own 30-yard line. That's it.
That's been the a good rule to take.
Here's how I knew they fucked it up. When I got the text.
Oh, that's dumb as fuck. Yes, it is.
When I got the text that says NFL implements rule from XFL, my first thought was, they're going back to the original XFL and doing the scrum where they just run to the middle of the field and get the ball. I'm pretty sure that the XFL got rid of that because that was dangerous and caused like numerous injuries within the first 2 weeks. No, wait, this is the NFL. They've stolen the wrong rule. And Matt is 100% correct. They should have just simmed that shit. They should have just said, the kickoff has been fucking banned. Here's your two options. That's it. What the fuck are we doing anymore with this shit? And that's on the heels of the hip drop. Like, I've tried so hard over the last like 10 years or so with the NFL to not be the back in my day guy, to not be the just put a skirt on them, it's flag football. Like, I have tried so fucking hard to not be that guy. But every time I goddamn turn around, the NFL is telling you, they are telling all of us, you guys don't want to see defense played. All you want is offense. So here's another way that we're going to make it impossible to play fucking defense. And they've gone so far in the other direction.
I'm so close to being done with this fucking league.
But you're not.
Like, I really am. No. I'm dead. I have watched less and less NFL football every fucking year for the last 10 to 15 years. I can't do it anymore. And here's the real kicker. When I saw on Twitter, they were like, here's the video that the NFL sent out to the teams to show what was no longer going to be allowed. And within the first 2 seconds of the video, I saw five different 49ers tackling with hip drops. I'm like, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. I'm done. I am done. There's no more football. Put skirts on them. Do whatever you want. I'm just going old man with it. I don't give a shit. Wake me up when the regular season's over. I'll tune in for the playoffs. I just don't give a fuck anymore. This is a joke.
But.
Player safety.
Come August, come September, you're going to watch. And you know what? We're all going to fucking watch. And they know that. They've got us by the dicks right now because they know they can do whatever the fuck they want. They can implement this rule. They can take this out of the game. They can do that. They can change everything. And we are so addicted to that NFL drug that we are going to tune in every fucking week. We're going
to
watch.
But they've cut it too much. They have cut the heroin so much that I can't get the high that I used to. But and I'm just done. I'm giving it up.
You still chase that dragon, baby. You're still going for it. And
no, Mike.
You can't. And maybe you've backed off a little bit. But as a whole,
I backed off a lot of it.
When they release the list of like the top 100 TV shows of the year and 98 of them are NFL broadcasts, they can do whatever the fuck they want. They've got us. They can do whatever they want. And I guess you have to find your breaking point of when you're finally like, okay, that's too far. I'm done. And when enough people say it's too far and I'm done, they just undo everything. And then we all come fucking crawling back. They got us by the dicks, fellas. We're fucked. They could do anything to us, and we just have to bend over and take it and be like, thank you, NFL. Appreciate you still coming out every Sunday. Go ahead, Matt.
So, okay, to back up Scott, sort of. Scott, you've seen The Wire. When the red caps don't sell, just bottle that shit and put it in the yellow caps. It's going to move. Right? That's what they're doing. That's what the NFL's doing. It's a shell game. That's what they're doing. It's the same shit. Two, the hip drop tackle rule. I'll tell you what it is, Mike, and you're going to love this. As a guy that plays in the AFC, you know what this is? This is the excuse to get Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl every year. This is the excuse to have him be tackled and them say it's a hip drop tackle and he's going to get a controversial first down and they're going to win in the AFC Championship game. It's going to happen every fucking year because he's going to get the same fucking calls Tom Brady got. These stupid judgment calls from the referees that are not challengeable and not be able to reviewable, nothing.
Oh, God.
Dude. They have so much power in what they can call. That is the problem. I don't care if that's what the rule change is, but if you're going to implement a rule like that, it has to be reviewable and there has to be an impartial set of people that are able to look at it and be like, nope, not a penalty. Pick it up. Because as of right now, that's going to be used as the get out of jail free card for Patrick Mahomes for the next 10 years.
But that's the kicker. They're sneaking it under the radar of the other shit now that they added that can be reviewed. So how many more calls are we going to see made now? Because the hit out of bounds, the roughing the passer, and then the intentional grounding are now all reviewable. That's the sneaky one. This hip drop is fucked. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's the one where it's like, that's the loud one that has a lot of noise and is distracting, and then they're going to walk it back, I think, probably before the season. It's still going to stick there, but I think the guidance is going to shift and it's going to not feel as impactful, but then there's going to be some whack-ass shit where someone doesn't get called for roughing the passer, and then it goes to review, and they're like, actually, that was 15 yards. We're going to go ahead and walk that off. That's the sneaky fucking shit they're pulling right here.
But here's the thing, though, like when it comes to the hip drop is like, I don't understand anymore how guys are supposed to tackle from behind, because earlier somebody put on Twitter, imagine this play being ruined. And it was the fucking play where what's his name in Seattle ran down Arizona fucking defensive back off the
chase.
Yeah, Metcalf. Yeah. And that was a hip drop. And I'm sitting there looking at this play and thinking, if that play is not allowed, then by an offensive player who was trying to stop the defensive player from doing a touchdown, and that would have been called against the spirit of the rule, I don't know what we're doing anymore. Like we're just not playing football anymore. It's done.
The one that I found the funniest was when somebody put up a still image of the Rams Titans Super Bowl, and they were like, hip drop tackle, half the distance to the goal line.
On what it ended on?
One untimed.
Where Geisen got tackled at the one, that was a hip drop. Go figure.
It was. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We're just not playing fundamental football anymore. Like, this is a different game. Call it something else. It's just not football.
Okay, but here's the thing. And I will say, listen, I'm not trying to like defend the hip drop tackle banning. I'm not trying to defend the NFL. But all of this same shit was said when they implemented the horse collar tackle rule. And like that, the whole thing, people were like, well, this isn't even like, what are you talking about? And here's the other thing. You have to realize the officials have like this discretion where they will let shit go. Like, it's at the end of the day, there are penalties that get slid every single time. I don't know why I'm that far. So my point being, it's always
there's not certain teams that get advanced.
My point being, yes, this is banned, but that doesn't mean it's going to get called all the time. But to Barr's point, it's likely going to get called in spots, which is where it's going to be a problem for a lot of people, because in certain spots when they can just drop it and throw that flag and be like, well, it's a hip drop, I don't know what to tell you, then it kind of gets a little shady.
My actual biggest issue with it is that they're saying it's under the guise of player safety.
Yes. Well, that's the most important thing.
That's what they're telling us. That's what they're telling us. The NFL came out today and announced they're going to play Christmas Day football games. Yeah, it's fantastic. It was a smashing success last year. They had three games on Christmas Day,
and they're taking shots.
Fantastic. They had highest ratings they'd seen in a long time. It worked out great. Last Christmas was a Monday. This Christmas, because leap year, is a fucking Wednesday. And I'm not sure if you're up to your NFL schedule knowledge. Last year, Christmas was in week 16. What's happening in week 16, you ask? It's usually the playoff push. So on top of the playoff push, what else do we have? No more bye weeks at that point. So is that team playing an early game in week 17 or a late game in week 16? So are they having to play on Sunday and then again on Wednesday? Or are they having to play on Wednesday and then again following Sunday?
I mean,
what the fuck are we doing, Matt?
Like, if you play Thursday night leading into that Wednesday and then play Monday, that's still three games in what is that, 12 days? Like, that's fucking nuts, man. That's crazy.
I'm telling you, crazy. They say player safety, they say player health, they say player this, player that. But what they are is players bring in money, and we know that we're going to break records, like Mike was talking about. They're going to break viewing records on Wednesday night football, because they're gonna be like, it's the first time we're having Wednesday night football, and everyone's gonna tune in to watch Christmas.
Not the first time. Thank you, COVID. Shout out COVID for Wednesday night.
Did we have Wednesday? I thought we had Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
We had football every night during COVID. It was a bizarre time.
So Scott did chime in to you know, bring the facts, hashtag facts. He said the reasoning they're making the teams play on Saturday so they get the same break as Sunday to Thursday.
Everybody agrees this is not enough.
Those games are dog shit. Yes, NFL again.
Isn't that why they did away with Thursday night football games that late in the season, anyways? Like,
yes,
Thursday night football games. So they're like, listen, we're gonna do away with Thursday night football games that late in the season because this is a playoff push and we want to make sure guys get rest, blah blah blah. But we are going to do Wednesday on Christmas because it's the same amount of time.
Like, look at the NBA over there. They're getting their shine. You know, it'd be a shame if we fucking took it.
We played football.
Like, nobody was asking for NFL football on fucking Christmas Day. It's the only time that the NBA, we have joked a billion times, but it's true. The NBA doesn't start until Christmas Day. Those are their marquee matchups. That's the day they circle on the calendar. They promote the fuck out of it. And it's the only time that even I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on in the fucking NBA? I'm not going to watch the rest of the year. I don't give a shit. But I'll tune in for the... I've never once been sitting there on Christmas and thinking to myself, damn, you know what make this Christmas better? Some fucking pigskin, bro. I can really miss the NFL. I wish they were playing today. Get the fuck out of here.
I want the Raiders and Jets, man. Raiders and Jets would really make my Christmas the best.
God.
Raiders, Jets. That's what I want. Because you know they're not going to give us good teams.
Yeah, they've just become a parody of themselves.
Who's the bullshit team? Like, oh, so Cardinals and Washington.
Raiders, yeah. Commanders, Christmas Day. Get hype!
Cares,
stupid and shit. It'll be the 75th highest rated event of the year.
We are in the minority of this. Like, everybody would be like, yeah, I never asked for this shit, but yo, Christmas Day NFL days, it's just dope, dog. Like, what? Yeah, that was some cool fantasy. Let me hit this parlay.
Why? Hey, hold on a minute. Like, look, if they're going to play the games, we might as well make a little coin off it, right?
Honey,
like,
honey, could you just take one day off of gambling? It is Christmas. No, sweetie. The NFL has decided. I don't give a shit. I've got to hit these bets.
Yeah, that's why.
All right, December 26th is the Mookie intervention. Good to know. Got a date now, boys.
All right, we're officially in overtime. I got one more story for you. We'll Mookie will save USA Mexico for next week. Let's get into overtime.
Miller for three. Oh, he backed it in. We're going to overtime.
Shit, do you need to update that now with the what was it, the Houston Texas A&M game?
No,
okay. Right.
I don't even know what game that is. I have no idea.
You
what
said,
that was.
No.
I don't watch a whole lot of UFC, but I did catch this story over the weekend. There was a fighter, Andre Lima, who got bit during his match with Igor Severino. It was one of the most vicious bites that I've seen. Like, for the audio only listening audience, Jesus. It is legit, like, just teeth marks on this dude's biceps. Yeah. Igor Severino bit him so bad that Dana White immediately fired him from the UFC. Like, got his ass out of Ultimate Fighting. He was done. He was cut. He was out. On top of that, Dana White offered Lima a $25,000 I got bit bonus. So he got an extra $25,000 for suffering that bite to his biceps.
Man, which that is and you have, and they've got mouth guards in. So, like, to make that kind of mark, you're biting through that hard plastic mouth guard.
Oh, my God. It looks like you got branded. Like, yeah. That's absurd. Like, Mike Tyson is like, salute, man.
Hey, can Dana White sponsor my trips to 7-Eleven? Because I feel like there's a chance someone bites me outside of one of those every time I go. He wants to give me bite insurance every time I need to go get a Slurpee. That'd be great.
Well, the best part about this, guys, like, that's just part one of the story. Part two is then Lima went and got a tattoo to commemorate the experience. And he got the teeth marks tattooed on his arm with the words, I got fucking bit bonus. So he bought, used that $25,000 to go ahead and add this ink to his bicep. Here's where the story gets another great turn. Dana White saw this tattoo. He saw that he got the teeth mark tattooed, and Dana White said, I was going to give him $25,000. Now I'm giving him $50,000, because that's fucking great. So Dana White up to the bonus to $50,000 because this dude got the teeth marks tattooed on him. Now, here's my question. This is very on point. Like, the teeth marks themselves, like, it's almost exactly where the bite is. Did this dude get it tattooed while the bite was still a thing? Like, that had to hurt like a bitch.
That seems unsanitary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the guy's in the UFC, though, Mike. Like, come on. He gets his face punched in for a living. I'm sure it wasn't any worse than that.
But, bro, like...
Plus, that he got 50 G's for it. Like, I'll do a lot. I'll take a lot of pain for 50 grand.
He didn't know he was getting 50 G's. He thought it was just 25.
I mean, speaking from experience, that part's not that bad, to be honest. That's
But imagine that it's raw from a bite. Like, imagine that it's that part where there's muscle and there's some fat and whatever, but it's raw from a bite.
Yeah, but also, like, if you've got a good artist, they can take a picture of that and be able to work with it right away.
So you're saying he got the tattoo after it was healed. You're saying he did not.
It might not be fully healed. They got it cleaned up. They got it. You know, so it wasn't bleeding anymore because he was clearly bleeding there when it happened. So they definitely got it all cleaned up. It might have still been imprinted a little bit, but I don't think it was like fresh. I don't think he went straight from the arena to get it done.
I wish he did. Look at that fucking thing, man. God, that's absolutely crazy. Insane. UFC fighters are fucking crazy. All right, let's talk about these beers that we were drinking tonight. We're going to rate them, as always, on the Caesar scale. Dog or no dog. Scott, what was in your mug tonight? Dog or no dog?
I poured some Acai Bowl Sour in with some Saucy Brew Works. Love You Bye, Peach.
Love You Bye.
Just all the fruity goodness in one cup. I'm feeling it. It's fucking good. Dog.
Sounds amazing. Mookie, what were you drinking? Dog or no dog?
Oh, it was absolute dog. Sam Adams, no haze. Wait, just the haze. Oh, because there's no booze in it. Yeah, it was absolute dog. Tasted almost like a real beer.
Almost like a real beer. That's a great selling point. That should be their tagline.
This right, it's almost like real a real beer.
Yeah. Adlar, what were you drinking? Dog or no dog?
Staying local here in Richmond, Virginia, Hardy Woods. Cancer Sucks Cold Cap IPA. Cold IPA, also extra cold because I kept it in my fridge, 6.2%. Again, if you buy this beer, if you're in Virginia or Kentucky,
you went through a tunnel, Matt Barr.
I was going to say, Matt's audio cut out
just from, okay. Do you drink it when the mountains get blue, or do you wait even longer?
There's no mountains. I'm not sure what to do.
Oh, then how do you know if it's cold?
Yeah, I was going to say, then there's no way it's the coldest beer that you've ever been through.
It says cold on it, so.
Doesn't count. Unless there's a mountain that turns blue to tell me it's cold.
Yep.
Do not know if that beer is cold.
I need cold activated cans, bitch.
I can't hold it until I can't taste it until I need. Nope. I need a mountain on the can to tell me that whether or not the beer is cold. I found two Santa's bribes in the back of my refrigerator today from the beginning of December and had those, and they're really good. It's still good. Absolute dog. I love Christmas beers all year round.
Hell yeah,
fellas. You know what this was.
This was a show.
No talk about platypi or platypussies or whatever it was.
And it was still bizarre because we spent way too much time breaking down Sip Chuck Drain Pour on three of the worst human beings to ever live.
Matt Barr's fault because that was the goddamn worst Sip Chuck Drain Pour the show has ever seen. And I'm honestly angry at you for that one. Legit angry that you made me put out the internet that I'm okay with Vince McMahon.
Double homicide's not so bad.
Yeah,
I'm like, you didn't respect the game. You didn't respect the game. Like, you went, Lou Holtz gave an answer, but not Mike.
I did give my answer.
That's going to be the headline tomorrow. Kraft Brewed Sports, they're okay with double homicide.
Hey, you got to draw the line somewhere, man. Got to draw the line somewhere.
As long as we know Gray Lewis is the main event. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. The fact that you guys tune in and listen to this stupidity is amazing. Thank you for all of you in the comment section, the extra hosts on the show. We love you. Be sure to tell a friend. Hit them up. Tell them, hey, check out this dumb show. You might like it. And it will grow and it'll be awesome. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go ahead and mash that like button for us. That'll help us out in the algorithm. So go hit that. Follow us on all the social media platforms. Join the Facebook group, all that good stuff. Shout out Belly Up Sports, bellyupsports.com. There's tons of great content there. Go sub, rate, and review all the Belly Up Sports podcasts on the Belly Sports Media Network. We will see you all next week. Cheers, everybody.
De'Ethan with the monster dunk, and the USA will win the gold.
You'll never walk alone, dog.
Bucket, we ball.
Right now.